Midtown Social, thanks so much for coming down to North State Public Radio today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Well, we're setting a record here. Most people ever in Studio C.
Oh, wow. We like setting records.
Yeah.
And this isn't even the whole band.
Yeah, no. There's two more. So we're coming back. Be ready. No one can beat us.
Nice. Well, let's start by just kind of telling our listeners about the background of the band, how it got started, and was there sort of like a vision that you guys all had when you first set out to start making this music?
Well, we're from the Bay. Half of us are from San Francisco and half of us are from Oakland. And I guess the main vision was to create a family band. You know, there's so many solo artists and duo teams, and there's not... we feel like enough bands making collaborative art together. So,
yeah, we just needed to see a band with lots of people on the stage.
That was the goal.
So we were like,
as many people as possible.
We can do that.
How can we take as much time at soundcheck as humanly possible?
Achieved.
Well, one of my favorite things about your music is that it is like so encouraging to dance, and you know, with so many people on stage, kind of creating that dance party vibe, like it kind of really helps to have that many people on stage, I think, to create that.
Yeah, we have our own little dance party every night.
Well, let's talk about the creative process a little bit. Aaron and Key, are you guys mostly the songwriters of the band?
And RJ.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so I imagine you come with kind of the skeleton of a song, and then earlier you mentioned that it's a very collaborative process when it comes to like working out the arrangement. So can you take us through that a little bit, like how that all works for you guys?
Well, generally, one of us has an emotional spike and writes a song about it. And then we see each other and we go, oh my God, I have a great idea. You want to hear it? And then we build the skeleton that way with just like a few of us. And kind of work out what the arrangement should be. And then we introduce it to the band, and everybody comes up with their parts individually and collaboratively, too. Yeah. And then it just grows from there.
Yeah, it's definitely a collaborative process, and that was something that we all wanted to find in Midtown Social. And recently, we've been taking these little writing retreats where we all go up and we're all in a house for a weekend and... just focus on the writing and the arrangement and the vibing, because the best music comes out of the best energy we can create within the ensemble. So finding that energy is really important.
And then I read an article about you when you're creating set lists. There's a lot of like thought that goes into, you know, the order of the songs. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the article hyped this up a little bit too much, but I found it really interesting, the BPMs thing.
Oh, where, yeah.
That's from the Chronicle for the EP release. That's you went digging,
you on
man.
Your
you went digging.
Yeah. Yeah. But to me, that's really, I love that because, and I don't know if like how much you nerd out on that, but for me, like when I'm making a set list, I love like being aware of that kind of like each song has maybe a like designing like a progressive, like the songs are getting slower to faster or something like that. Like, so maybe you can talk a little bit about that and how you guys think about putting your set list together.
Yeah, I mean, in rehearsal, we play basically everything to a click, and so with that we have these mapped out ideas of what's going on, and then I think inside of that, it's really about the freedom of finding the way that the puzzle pieces fit together, mostly. And I mean, some nights, some songs will be a little bit quicker or a little bit slower, depending on how the audience is vibing and kind of figuring it out. But with that said, as with the human experiences, there's peaks and valleys, and you kind of want to like follow that in the music as much as you can and make the highs really high so that when the lows come, you can express those feelings as well. I think that's...
Yeah, you want to curate the vibe, you know? Yeah. You don't... Like, we love making you dance and, like, you know, getting you out on the floor and sweating and whatnot. But there has to be a rest break or you're just going to be done.
For the audience and for the band, because you want them to peak, you know, towards the end of the set when everyone's really vibing on it. And if you give them all of the kind of crazy dance stuff right up front, they'll be exhausted. They won't be able to enjoy it. So it's definitely about finding that flow, that ebb and flow throughout the set.
We definitely have a lot of songs to draw from, so we can kind of craft the set list to work for the night and the crowd, and we change songs sometimes in the middle of the show, but it's amazing to have that many songs to draw from.
You're at the time of this recording right now, you guys just got done playing a show at Lost on Main last night in Chico, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and you were talking about it was a over 2 hour long set list. So I'm curious, do you guys take a break in that, or how do you make it like sustainable to like play for that long and keep the energy up for so long?
We're in really good shape.
Push-ups. Only when I'm on stage am I in good shape.
I think it's important that you eat your vegetables.
Yes.
And for me, hydration. Hydration, and I think for all of us at this point, we don't really drink too much before we play sets, which is...
No. I have my own strategy. I drink a ton of water in the afternoon, hydrate, and then I kind of go without for hours before the show.
Because not getting to pee for 2 hours can be rough.
That can be rough.
Somebody, you're on the radio, so you can't see me pointing to Aaron, has to pee a lot.
Yeah. Well, we definitely like to grab onto the audience, and once they start dancing, we want to hold on to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Once you step off the stage, people leave, people go get drinks, and then they kind of depart from actually engaging with us. So we kind of like grab onto them, and we never let go.
Yeah, we ride their energy real hard. Yeah. It's definitely a cycle, a give and take, and once we get them going, we can ride that high back for hours. It's really dope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just try to forget about everything prior to being on stage. If I'm not feeling well, if somebody has made me upset, whatever, like, we're on stage. Yeah. And it's a party, generally, always. Yeah.
And also, I think more importantly, at the base of everything, when you're having your idea of some of the most fun that you can have with some of your favorite people, it's kind of like, I'm kind of doing exactly what I'd like to be doing pretty much always, so it feels really good.
We definitely want to be on the stage.
Yeah.
All the time.
Always.
And I want to talk a little bit about living in the Bay Area and life as a musician in the Bay Area. I'm going to keep this real.
We know where you're going.
So my question is, what do you like about being a musician in the Bay Area? And, and then also, what are maybe some of the challenges and what you wish was different about, the Bay Area music scene?
Well, I think a great positive right now is we're totally a part of that community. I mean, the musicians and artists... in the Bay have been super supportive, and we like to think that we try to support as much as we possibly can too. So there's definitely a family and a community that we're a part of, and that, is invaluable.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Some of the things we don't like.
or what do you wish was different?
The ability to create art affordably, and not just music, but all forms of art, whether it's...
Yeah.
Film, painting, photography, people wanting to create food and being able to do that sustainably, people wanting to create music. The influx of cost of everything makes it all really
physical space.
Yeah.
We just lost our home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were created at Faultline Studios in San Francisco. Faultline was owned by Yosh. Haraguchi?
Haraguchi. Yeah.
Yes. Shout out to Yosh. Yeah. We founded our band there, and we created a year of music, the three of us, in a little tiny room, probably around this size, for a year. And then we found our family. And we lost our home. Yosh had to close Faultline because it's too expensive to be an artist in San Francisco. Yeah. We had to find a new home, and thankfully Lennon Studios took us in because they are amazing.
Yeah, we got really lucky.
But we got lucky. Like, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen to artists. And when you lose something like that, like, sometimes that is the end of your band.
Yeah.
And I wish that were different. I wish that San Francisco used to be a place of community and art and beauty and amazingness, and some industries that have come in are pushing that out.
It's still there, but it's more on the surviving track rather than the thriving. Yes. It would be really great to be back to a place of thriving and feeling like there's room for growth instead of just trying to hold on and not lose the little ground you have.
We've lost a lot of our community too. I mean, people
this is true.
A lot of people have left, and which is unfortunate. And but you know, a lot of, like she said, if you lose your home, sometimes that means it's over. You have to leave because mm-hmm. it's you can't find another place that's affordable.
And now you guys are mostly living in the East Bay area, or
like half and half.
It's half and half.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the High Sierra contest, because that's actually how I heard about you guys. Initially, was like watching the video, and then like, you know, it's kind of like a big dream of a lot of musicians to play at that festival. So I'm wondering, you know, what was that experience like for you? You know, winning the contest and then then actually playing the festival, and how is it? You know, beyond just being here now, how has it like kind of shaped your music career a little bit?
Well, first of all, it was pretty incredible that we had that much support from our community.
Yeah.
Because it was totally organic that we got there, and that, I mean, is super special.
That's how we played Lost on Main.
Yeah.
She voted for us.
Yeah.
She came up to me, and I was just walking, and she's like, "You're from Midtown Social, and we voted for you." And I was like, "What? This is amazing."
Yeah. Last night, she was like, "No, it was my vote that decided. I'm why you made it there."
Yeah, Karen.
Not that
from
you
Lost
owe
on
me,
Main.
But
she's great.
She's incredible.
Yeah. It's opened a lot of doors for us. Yeah. And I think that we've always felt supported by our community, but like, it just was so present. They were so here for us, you know? Yeah. We put ourselves out there, and we did the work, and we entered the contest, and everybody was like, yeah, you definitely won, you know? Everybody voted for us, and it feels so good, you know?
It was a trip, because after the contest was done, or towards the very end of it, is when we started to realize that a lot of the bands that were in the top five with us actually already had deep connections to the festival. I guess folks go and play without being on the stages necessarily, so they're like part of that community. So they were working their hustle in the community of folks who already know about the concert or about the festival. And we were working within our own community for the most part and didn't know High Sierra people as well. But we made our way in. And we were a really different sound than everybody else in the contest, mm-hmm. and it felt so good to have that validated.
And the show itself was amazing. We had a 10 a.m. slot, and there was like 700 people there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing.
We served mimosas.
Yeah,
Midtown mimosas.
And everybody was drinking and dancing with us at 10 in the morning.
That's amazing.
Yeah. One of my favorite memories.
It definitely uplifted my spirit after a
long
night.
It was church.
Yeah. It was church.
Yeah, and we got to connect with all kinds of beautiful people and saw some great musicians, and mm-hmm. the whole thing was really inspiring and exhausting and beautiful. Yeah.
Well, one thing about like playing festivals and being like a traveling band is you're really often you're playing to people who maybe have never heard of you before.
Yeah.
And so like that can be, for some bands, it can be kind of awkward, like how do I get you to, like, connect with me and, like, you know, trust me and, like, you know, dance to my music. So what are some like, tricks that you guys use, or, like, what do you do to, like, kind of reach out and connect with those new fans that might not know you or your music?
That's a good question. I mean, I think for me, as one of the front people who's actively engaging with the audience the whole time, I can tell when somebody's kind of, you know, checking us out, giving us the side eye, not really sure if they like us or not. Or, and, you know, whenever you hear new music, there's always that kind of delay of, oh, do I like this or not? So, you know, it's I try to get out of my own head, you know, and the judgment that they might be thinking about, and just push out the positivity and love, because that is what we are. That's what we are as a band. And more often than not, people, if they listen for a few songs, I think they understand what we're preaching, what we're trying to give them, and they appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think also the amount of energy that we give each other on stage becomes really infectious. We play with each other, and we have that natural family love thing going. Mm-hmm. It's not a farce. It's not put upon. It's real, and it's contagious. And even folks who are reluctant when they first get there, by the end, are like letting go and letting themselves be in joy and in their body and in movement. And it's cathartic for everyone involved. It's, yeah.
Just be yourself. Yeah. I think I'm more of myself on stage than anywhere else, like in normal life, you know? I think people pick up on the fact that we're just like putting our hearts out there, and they connect with it, luckily. So, and then have a lot of people. You don't know where to look, so you're just looking.
But it's great because you can connect. We have such a diverse group of people. Yeah. You can connect with different people depending on who you are and what you like. So.
Yeah. Nice. And when the energy is starting low, like we have each other to get through with until they catch on to wanting to be on our level of joyfulness.
Which they always do.
Which they do, yeah. I had a friend come to an out-of-town show with us recently who had seen us when we played our own crowd, and this was the first time she'd seen us walk into a room where folks didn't know what was coming. And she was like, this is the thing that I want to figure out how to help you guys translate, because I'd never seen a band get strangers from 0 to 60 like you did. Like, you get people in revelry and ecstatic, and it's authentic, and it's connected, and it's not self-conscious, and it's a beautiful thing, and it's really hard to translate outside of a live show. But we got to figure that out so that the world can know before we get there.
Right.
Well, so you've done the High Sierra Music Festival. You guys have this debut album here ready to go. So I'm wondering, what are some other things that are you're working on now, or like things that you're looking forward to coming down the rest of this year?
Yeah,
got a lot of stuff. We've got what are we doing? We're coming back up to the Down Low in Chico on October 18th. So we'll be back up here for that.
Oh,
cool!
Yes. Awesome. Yeah.
Definitely be here for that. We're doing Offbeat Reno at the beginning of November, so all the Northern California crew can come over and hang out with us there. Mm-hmm. And then if you're in the Bay, we're playing
Cornerstone
on September 15th.
And the Independent in November. Right?
Yeah,
Independent
in November.
Right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Come work out your turkey. We're here for you.
And tonight we're headed to Sacramento to play at the Torch Club.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
We're also working on a new album right now.
Yeah.
So.
Back in the studio, cutting the tracks.
Mm-hmm. Got some video ideas. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, videos, getting some managers, getting some booking agents that we want to work with.
Getting crazy.
Getting, you know, pinky in the brain, man. Taking over the world.
Well, let's wheel it back to songwriting for a minute. Mm-hmm. What would you say is like the best songwriting tip, or like, I guess, piece of advice you ever got from another artist or a writer or someone who is inspiring to you?
That's a really good question.
I would, if you have an idea, record it. It doesn't matter if it's finished or not. Get it out there so that it's tangible and you can hold on to it, and then you can go back to it. And just don't forget about it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I guess it's like, don't be too judgmental of yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even the smallest idea could turn into something beautiful if you allow it to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like whenever I talk about songwriting, I sound like a crazy person. And and I just, like, own that now, you know? Songs happen to me by, like, my songs talking to me and nagging me, you know, like a little kid who needs attention. And I've just, the good advice that I've gotten is just to learn to listen to that and, like, accept that you're strange and go with it, because really good things happen. Strange people run this world because they're the ones with all the good ideas, you know. So it's my good advice.
So be strange.
Be strange. Be weird. Swim in it till your fingers get pruny, and then dive back in. Be weird.
And you know, I think something that empowers my songwriting process, and I think Key and Aaron's, especially with this group, is the fact that we have an incredible group of people that we trust and that we know they have good taste. So when we show up and we're like, hey, this is what we think, and people are like, yeah, that's cool, or yeah, maybe we should change this. And you're like, yeah, okay. And, like, be open to that, because the most beautiful things can come from that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I have one last question, and this one's for Aaron. So I'll ask you to kind of get a little bit closer up on the mic for this last question. Mm-hmm. It's about the song that you performed here for us today in the studio.
Yeah.
So what is the What's the name of the song, and what can you tell us about it?
The name of the song is Solid Ground. It is off of our first EP we released back in 2014 on vinyl. The impetus for the song, the energy that it's trying to create, was seeing the change in tide, for 3 or 4 years ago, as things in this country, you could tell they weren't getting better, and trying to acknowledge that and give it voice, because I think one of the things that we need to do if we want anything to change is we've got to give that change a voice. And I think it's our job as artists to not only, you know, bring some hope and beauty into the world, but also to acknowledge the things that we see that we don't like. So I think that right now, too, given the climate, that we need songs like that to people to hear and connect to and start talking about. And it was funny, I don't know, we played this whole long set last night of 2 hours, and we didn't play that song.
Somehow it didn't end up on the set list, and it just like totally
like,
cruised by.
Because we have several songs like that we do have a lot of just feel-good dance songs where we want people to enjoy themselves, but we also want people to think, and that's one of those songs we hope people allow themselves to think through.
All right. Well, very well said. And Midtown Social, thank you guys so much for coming down and playing for us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We had so much fun.
Thanks, Nolan.